Well, I'm standing in tonight for Brother Stephen. You know, that song that we just sung, it always touches me. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, whenever you open the Word, whenever you are sitting maybe at home and you're listening to a beautiful Christian song on the radio or something, you have these opportunities to sit at the feet of Jesus during the daytime. You know, and that's when we're all alone, sometimes we have this opportunity to pray, to sit at His feet and open the Word of God and see what He has to say to us. And this is not what we're going to talk about, but I'm overflowing right now when I listen to that song. And it's a wonderful thing. Let me catch a glimpse of You. You know, sometime when we live in our life walking around in this world, you know, we see all kinds of ugly things. But sometimes we're able to see someone that is carrying the Holy Spirit around in their body. They're saved people. They're on fire for Jesus. So when you encounter them in a crowd or anywhere like that, it's catching a glimpse of what the Holy Spirit does through a person. So you, in effect, are catching a glimpse of Jesus. And that's a good thing, isn't it? May we be people that when somebody sees us, that they're getting a glimpse of Jesus from us as we live our life. So you're in the right place tonight. Not because I'm preaching, because the Word of God is going to be open. And there may be something that will change your life. And only God can really do that. So let's look in the Word tonight. I labored on this, you know. When you don't do this very often, you want to find out just. Well, I won't. It wouldn't matter if it was two people here, or 50 or 100. You want the right word, right? And I was this day, and when I got home after church, I thought I had it. All I had to do was polish it up, and God said, "That's not it." And so I have another message tonight for y'all, and we'll see what God does. Okay, that's what we need to do, right? Am I loud enough? I'm not. I need to talk louder. Jeremiah said like that. Okay, I'll talk my normal tone of voice. There I am. Okay. If I get excited now, it might get louder. But we're going to be in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. If you could if you want to turn in your Bible there so you can read along with me. This is one of my... All of us probably have a favorite book. Ephesians is certainly one of my favorite books. Today I was looking at chapter 1, and you know, Paul lived 2,000 years ago, and he's been gone to heaven for many, many years, but things that he wrote in the Bible, he wrote most of the New Testament. And here he's got a prayer, and he's praying for us, starting in chapter 1, verse 17. Actually, let's back up to 16. And he says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And then our focus will be on verse 17 and 18 and 19. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty powers." Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word, and we thank You, Lord, that we have this opportunity to come together, open the Bible tonight, Lord, and to see what You have to say to us, Lord. I pray that You'll bless the words, Lord. I pray that You open our hearts, Lord. Give me the ability, move me out of the way, Father, so I can preach the Word of God, Lord. I just ask You to do that tonight, Father, for Your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him." there's two things we're looking for. This is what Paul was asking for, was that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He's praying for that today, so that's what he wants us tonight to get here, is the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. You know, the knowledge of God has to originate with God, because the truth is that someone can write about God all day long, but unless they know God and they somehow are able to speak with the voice of God, you really can't trust that as getting the knowledge of God. But if we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, we'll skip just a little bit, but you know, for this, it's important. Where does the authority that we have to get this wisdom that we want from God? In 1 Corinthians I'm nervous. 1 Corinthians is before Ephesians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? How can anybody know you except the spirit of yourself, unless you can reveal that to them? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. How could we gain knowledge and who God is? A requirement is that we have the Holy Spirit, that we're saved, that we're reborn. We're second birth. So many ways to say it, but we have to be spiritually alive in Christ through the Holy Spirit. It's given to us at that moment that we, through faith, believe that he says who he is. He's the Son of God, and he shed his blood on the cross for us. And through faith in him and the price that he paid for our sin, we're accepted into the family of God. We're a child of God. And with that knowledge, then, through the Spirit, he's able to talk to us. And you could be the best preacher in the world, but unless you're preaching through the power of the Spirit and you're receiving it in the Spirit of God, then knowledge of who God is can come into your heart. And then you can build on that. You can build on that through continually receiving that knowledge of God. And you can learn about God. That's when then you'd be able then to go out in a wicked world, and all you'd have to do is be yourself, and people would see that. You wouldn't have to put on any kind of airs or anything, because it would be something that people would see, a glimpse. And believe me, it's not a glimpse of you. It's a glimpse of the Lord that's living through you. And that is the spirit of wisdom and revelation is what he prayed for us. And you get that by first of being a person that is born again. Whenever the pastor stands in the pulpit, we always have that opportunity. And if there's ever anything holding you back, like, well, say you're 70 years old and you've never done it, hey, walk down the aisle. Everybody will do nothing but, right? If you're a Sunday school teacher, if you come every Sunday and you've been coming here for 10 years and the Lord reveals to you, you need to go down the aisle. Do it. And get that reassurance you have that you know the Lord. When you do that, when you know him, then the Spirit dwells within you, and then you're ready to start receiving the things that God has for you. You know, the knowledge of him is given to us by the Holy Spirit. Now that's a head knowledge that we have. But the revelation of who God is. How is God revealed to us? Well, there are several ways. We know one we had in Sunday school. Y'all may remember when we studied this. Oh, it's been maybe 6 months ago. Is how you can walk out these doors and look up at the sky and see the clouds going by. You can see the trees and you can see the beautiful flowers on the trees now. What do they call them? White? They're everywhere. Little white flowers. It's beautiful this time of year. You can see the birds and everything are happy because it's they're not huddled up in a tree trying to stay warm. Just everything is waking up and the world is a beautiful place. When you see that, you know there is a God because nothing like this could happen without God. And it's a revelation. He's revealing himself to us through his creation. And he does that every day when we see that beautiful red sunset. Even when we see a thunderstorm building in the sky, and then you say, well, rain's going to come out of that cloud. And then sure enough, later on, it's how God just replenishes the earth. We see that. We can see somebody walk into church with a little newborn baby. Right, we look. Then we remember in Psalms 139 how it talks about how the handiwork of God. And I think it's just an amazing thing. And all these things point to one thing. It's revealing. God is revealing himself to us. I mean, and it can be no other explanation. I'm going to turn over to Psalms real fast. And we may get through real early tonight, like Brother Marco said this morning, but we'll see. We may get through late too. So let's see. Psalms 139. This is it's dear to my heart because our little, I need to quit calling her little, our daughter-in-law has given us two grandchildren. I remember the first time she was just newly pregnant with our first grandchild. She came over and we were having a meal around in the kitchen there talking, and she was asking me about that, and I said, well, all I know is what the Bible says about it. Can y'all hear me? I'm getting a soft voice again. Okay, I'm sorry. Verse 14, Psalm 139. Excuse me. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in the secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Now that's Old Testament talk for saying when the baby was being formed in the mother's womb. That's what he's trying to say in King James English here. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. As God was putting that baby together inside the mother. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. And this is at the same time that he was creating that new life. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sands. When I wake, I'm still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. And he's talking here about how God has plans for us in the womb of the mother. Each of us are very important to the Lord himself. But how is God revealed himself to us? There's by his creation. The things that he makes, we can look and say there is a God. I know a man that told me one time, and he's not a practicing Baptist. I don't know exactly. He has a religion, but that's not important. What is important is what he said to me. He said that even the scientists, you know, people say, well, scientists can do that. But here's what he said. He knew something about DNA and the strings of DNA and things like that. And he talked to me for about 5 minutes about that, and like he had wrote the book about it. But he said, there is no way that a human being could be fashioned any other way except by the hand of God. But when you go beyond that, it would be an earthworm or anything else. Life is given by God. And He reveals Himself to us. He's all-powerful. It's something that He reveals Himself. What? Through the Holy Spirit. We see that. And we see that. That's God. The mockers and the scoffers about God can go all day long, but you just know in their heart, because God has revealed Himself to you through the Holy Spirit, that you know who God is. And it's an awesome thing, isn't it? How does God reveal Himself? And this is probably how most of us, after we get that revelation by looking up, we're drawn to something. I want to see it, and then we open the Word. Word of God is the guidebook. It's the love letter that God has for us. So if we really want to find out who God is and have Him reveal Himself to us, we not only get the knowledge, but God can reveal Himself through His Word. And the inspired Word of God, and something that we could say is the voice of God to us, that He said it to us, and we know it's inspired. So we have that promise of from Him that He is who He says He is. The other is the incarnate Word. When Jesus came in the New Testament, it's all about Jesus. And we say all the stories and the things, the parables about Jesus, and the inspired Word of God from Jesus that talks about that. And we know that we have the revelation of the knowledge of Him through that. But what goes back to this is that Paul prayed for us for this, for the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of Him. You know, if you want to have words to pray, that is a powerful prayer. You have a child, a grandchild, a daughter, a sister, somebody that doesn't know the Lord. What they need to do is they need to be able to see Him. And if He could, the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of Him, who knows? That one that you've been praying for, God's going to bring somebody across their path that has that ability to be the glimpse of Jesus and your loved one's life. And then that would change their life forever, just by maybe because God would put them at Walmart at just the right time at the checkout stand where that person would say good morning and share Christ with them. And God can do those things. And Paul prayed for it, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him would be given unto us. And that is not an empty promise. That's still in effect. That prayer was lifted up. Christ hadn't come yet, so that prayer is still valid. And it's being answered every day in this world by God. So we get to know Him by getting to know the Scriptures. Now sometimes, and this is just a part of getting older, I found, and I don't think it changes anything, so it doesn't give us old-timers anything but this. When you open the Word and you say, man, you circle in verses, I'm going to remember that. 2 days later, you can't really remember what chapter, verse, or even the book, if it's in the New Testament or not. But here's what we have to do. You have to stay in the Word. I tested myself on this last week. Karen saw me sitting out on the coffee table in there. It's an old business card box that they changed the name of the company, so I had a whole bunch of brand new business cards. So what am I going to do with these business cards? Forgive me for saying I so much. This is an illustration. So I got the card, and I wrote each day when I would stop. I worked on office machines. I would pull up in front of a customer, and before I would go in, I would use my hat, because I never took lunch, so I used my... I would pull out the Bible and I would glance through and find a verse that I said, well, God spoke to me in that verse, and I'd write that address down on that card and I'd stick it back in the box. And I got a box of those and I tried to make those my memory verses and all. And boy, when I was 39, 49 years old, I could do that. But this is what I'm leading to, is this. The Word of God is a treasure that if we really want to get to know God, we need to find ourselves with a hunger for it. A hunger for the Word of God. How do you get a hunger? You come where it's preached. When you're at home, you open it up and read it. When you're in the car, you turn it to a preacher that is preaching the truth, the Word of God, the way it should be preached. And, hey, there's all kind of things. And you could fill yourself up and say, well, old Mike is a fanatic. I have to tell you what, if you're a fanatic for Jesus Christ, that's okay. Amen. It's better than being a fanatic for a football team or a basketball team or something like that. There's a book written several years ago called, how many of y'all read it? Not a Fan? Okay. I've got it. Somebody gave it to me and I haven't read it yet. Don't want to be a fan of Jesus. Not a fanatic of Jesus, but you want to be somebody that knows what He says and so He can reveal Himself to you. So you can sit at the feet of Jesus. In Ephesians, back to Ephesians, chapter 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. In verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I guess we think about it. It would sort of be that there's a. Remember how Paul on Damascus Road, when Jesus appeared to him, when he was going to Damascus and he was going to go up there and he was going to have some time arresting the Jews and bringing them back. For the Christians and taking them back because they were violating the Jewish laws and things like that. While he was going along that road, Jesus came and as a bright, shining light in the sky, and it blinded Saul. They took him into Damascus, and because it was Jesus that was talking to him, and it changed him forever. The shining light, the glory of God shining from heaven on him. And he knew then that he had been wrong all the time about persecuting Christians. He had the revelation of God to him through that appearance. It's not too often that we have that today. I'm not saying you can't. But that's what happened to Paul. God had a great use for Paul. He was going to use him to be the minister to the Gentiles. But... Long story to say this, what happened to him when he got back into Damascus, he was blind, remember? And it said as scales had come off his eyes. And when those scales come off, he could see. Not just see, but then he knew that Jesus had been revealed to him. Now, are we saying that can't happen to us? Jesus can reveal himself to us. And the eyes of our understanding. What would open the eyes of our understanding? Would it be that time that we were in a worship service and the pastor said something, the Holy Spirit does it, right, and drew us to make that the step where it's just let go of the pew, step out, and come to the front and confess what? I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And when you do that, God is ready to receive you and make those changes in your life. One, Holy Spirit immediately comes to live within you. And you're not the same person anymore. The Bible says that you're a new creation, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And He can do that for all of us. The prayer that Paul lifted that night of praying that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that ye may know, if we go on here, what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory are what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We would know those things but through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We've been prayed for. You may have a loved one again. You've been praying for them. Keep praying that God will send somebody to reveal himself. Two ways God will reveal. Amen. By the creation, by the things like that. But the inspired word and the incarnate word where through Jesus, the things that he does in our life. We must know how to get, we must know how to who Jesus is. You know, the one thing, it's getting more difficult to be a Christian now because the world doesn't understand Jesus anymore. Our generation, maybe, and a lot of the younger, it seems like things have changed, you know. Remember we hear back when maybe, even when before I was here, there was back in the country. Some of you may remember the days when on Sunday, the church, one or two churches in town, if you were from a small town, that even on Sunday, nobody worked the fields or everything. That was a day off. That was Sunday. And there wasn't, you know, a lot of places were closed and all kind of things like that, the blue law and all that. There was a recognition in our society that Sunday was a special day and that God was special. The United States was a special country and that Jesus was the Savior that died on the cross. And that was a knowledge that was widely known among everyone. But we see now that the revelation of God, this prayer that Paul prayed, is as important today as it is back then. The eyes of the understanding, where people can understand who God is. The revelation of who he is. The knowledge of who he is. All those things are available to us today. It goes on to say after verse 18, well, in verse 18, actually, it says, the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Well, I guess if we, the hope, one of the things, y'all may remember, we used to have a Christ in me, the hope of glory. Remember that? It used to be our theme song, or at least a verse. We had it on a sign out in the foyer. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This hope that we have, and it's not a hope that it's I hope so. It's that we know so. It's hope in Christ is not an if, is it? It's a when. Someday that he's going to come back again. We don't know when that's going to be, but someday he's going to come back again. And when he does, he's coming to get his church. But the hope. The hope that he has for us, as some would say, it's like each one of us has our own hopes, right? We have these things that we would, and he knows. So in the whole sweep of humanity, the Lord knows the things that we have, the hopes that we have in our life. But he is the blessed hope that we have, and in the eternal purposes of God. When we go and talk about the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory and his inheritance. It's an amazing thing to think about, that of all the people, and not just here in the United States, but in all over the world, that all of us, when we were created, God knows us by name. And somehow, if we get the idea that America is different than any other country, no, God knows everybody, and he knows the choices they make. And he has the hopes that he has for us. And he would want us to have the hope in him that he would have. So it would be the hope of the calling. Has God called you to anything? Is there something that you feel that the Lord would have you to do? Is there a hope that he has for you? Open your eyes, pray, sit at the feet of Jesus, and find out what he has for you. Sometimes we we find that we can't think that big because God knows everything, and I just don't know what he would what the hope he has in me. But it's the blessed hope that he has for everyone is they get to come to know him through his son Jesus. And we've been prayed for here by Paul that would know. Last in verse 19 is, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty powers? The exceeding power of usward. You know, people talk about Jesus was meek and mild. But Jesus, remember, he went into the temple and he turned over the tables of the money changers. And Jesus was a man that would stand up in a crowd of people knowing that they were saying, crucify him, and he wouldn't spit or mock or anything. He was as they mocked him, he was silent before those people. Power to us. You know, this is another thing that it's when you think about it, Jesus, he was there with God and the Holy Spirit when the world was created, hovering over the waters. He was an agent of creation with God and the Holy Spirit. Everything that was created was spoken into existence. That's all he had to do. I got some figures here. They say that the sun is a fifth magnitude star in the Milky Way galaxy. It's 1,000 times less luminous than the most brighter star in the Milky Way. That on a clear night, we can see about 7,000 stars at night. God made all those things. You know what the amazing thing is, though? We understand that God created everything. We see everything that we can't see, the DNA and all the different things like that. But what God also did is that he, when he gave himself on the cross, he hung on the cross and he had to suffer for us. He had to suffer and die for us. And he did that on the cross for us willingly. That's the Jesus that we know today. The one that died, he's resurrected, and he's in heaven today at the right hand of God, and he's here tonight with us, and he wants to reveal himself to each one of us here tonight, maybe in a special way. Only God knows those things, but he's always there wanting to do that. If you have needs tonight, you bring it to Jesus. He's always there for you. Amen. You know, sometimes when you have the opportunity to talk about the Word of God, and I think this is something that we can all, because I'm at a loss now what to do, because I haven't done this in a long time. But here's the key. I know that y'all love me, and what we just talked about is something that can only be experienced as we break down the walls that we may have built in our life and push them out of the way and say, anything that is there that's keeping me from being that person that someone can get a glimpse of Jesus today. You know that we've had several men in our church over the last couple of years that we talked about, let your light so shine before men that they may observe your good works. And we know a couple of guys that their light shone. Is that something that's specific to anybody? We can all do that. Let your light so shine before men. And what light is that? It's the light of Jesus Christ shining through us. And it's he's here to help us with that tonight. What we normally do is at this time is we have a prayer request. Anybody have? I'm going to open it up just because I'm down here because I'm not in the pulpit. Does anybody have anything to add tonight about God working? Amen. Yes, sister said that when you're down, call on God and He'll lift your spirits. Amen. He's always there to do that. Okay. Okay. Let's go to prayer request. And anybody have any prayer requests tonight?